Beautifully well done. Thank you, Abby. Appreciate that. Tonight, Brother Deutsch is going to be coming and preaching for us. And Brother Deutsch, you come ahead. And we've been praying for Sandy after her surgery. Maybe you can give us an update, sir. God bless you. Amen.
Sandy's doing a lot better. She's still going through a lot of pain, but it's the pain recovery as opposed to a regular, the discomfort and the pain she was suffering from before. So I want to thank you all for your prayers and for your thoughts, and just keep doing it. And she's getting better, so we thank you very much. Turn, if you would, with me to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. I want you to imagine, if you would, let me think of some people. If you think Brother Jerry over there, Mr. Van Fleet, and Brother Roy and Brother Day. Say they all got together, right? And they're all standing there, and they have to traverse from one spot to the other. They got to walk through a building because they have to get somewhere. Now, imagine if they were going, and they were walking, and they say, oh, well, there's a large building we have to walk through, and they continue through that. Now, they go into the building, they enter the building, and you find out there's a comic book convention going on inside that building. So you got Brother Jerry. Now, I don't know. Brother Jerry might go home and he might read, you know, X-Men or the Avengers and might have a whole run of them. But I'm kind of guessing probably him and Brother Reed don't do those things. They'd walk through this, and I'm sure that they would see the spectacle around them. They would make comments. I don't think they'd be mean. I don't think they'd be cruel. But I think they would just walk around and see the stuff around them. I think that they would go through, talk amongst themselves, and they would get out to the other side. But at no point I don't think that Brother Day or Brother Reed would come out with a Superman cape on the back of them. I don't think that any one of them would suddenly put on a Green Lantern t-shirt at the end, because that's not who they are. They're walking through an environment that is not theirs. And so when they come out on the other side, they are who they were, but they know that they were in a strange place the whole time. Now, we all live in one place, and that's the world. And it's a weird place. If we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, that's an odd walk that we go through out there, that we have to go through that day by day, step by step, seeing all the things that we see. I'm not saying the sense of judgment, but we just experience the world that we have. I know if anyone's ever read the news at any time, you know that the world is messed up. And we've got to get through there. So I'm going to look at a section of a very familiar passage, that's sarcasm, that refers to God teaching the children of Israel a separation as they went through the land. And so we'll start in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 26. You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment nor observe times. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beards. You shall make no cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings of your word. Lord, we ask you to be with us, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit come and speak to us, Lord. Let him speak through me that we may hear what you would have us hear, Lord. I ask you to open our hearts, open our ears, and open our minds that we may hear what you would have us hear, Lord. I ask you to be with me in all things and be with us in all things. And we thank you so much for your son's holy and precious salvation, Lord, and yours. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, the Jews were delivered. In Genesis 15:13, God had told Abram that they were going to be in a strange land for 400 years. And for 400 years, these Jews had been in Egypt. Egypt is the picture of the world in the Old Testament. Now, if you pull us back 400 years in the year 1617, I don't know what was going on in England. That's where my heritage is from. I don't know anything about that. I can't relate to that at all. And the Jews had brought a familiar culture with them through the patriarchs, and now they were walking out of Egypt. They had been there for 400 years, and God was leading them through Moses. They were going to the Promised Land. And the Jews would be around peoples that were not his people, were pagan people. And you'll see in this chapter, in this book, and throughout the entire Pentateuch, God gives instruction to the people to be different from those around them. They weren't Jews around them. They walked with false gods, and God wanted to keep his people sanctified the whole time. You'll see this principle of separation. It runs through the Old Testament, runs through the laws, it runs through these things, that you're to put yourself apart from the world. Now, we're Christians, and we're not no longer held to the Old Testament, but we are a people of God. The law is still there. It is just fulfilled in Christ. Matthew 5:18, "Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." God has called us to be a separate people to a higher standard. Romans 8:17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and if so be that we suffered with him, that we may also be glorified together." 2 Peter 2:5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer unto spiritual sacrifice, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:9, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of the darkness and the marvelous light." We're to be different in the world. In the land we are, Brother Wiggins did a really, really, really good job of showing how the promised land pictured the Christian life. And that's what we're in. We're in the Christian life now. Now, I don't mean to be legalistic. Colossians 2:16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of holidays or a new moon or Sabbath days." I'm not talking about that thing where you get this set of rules. One of the things I always thought was interesting about that is schools and churches have rules about skirts, and you know, and they should. But as soon as you say, "No, they don't need to be this short," well, then they're short here. Well, then you can't be short there. Well, then they're too tight. Well, don't make them this tight, and on. And people try to jump through the loops to still do what they want to do, when really the spirit of the law is be modest. Just be modest. That's, you know, if you don't be legalistic, don't try to find the loophole that says, "Well, I can do this." I know guys that will argue for hours that whether or not they can drink 4 ounces of beer every day because they haven't done anything. And that's not what the law is talking about. When we're held to a higher standard than what was printed in the Old Testament. We are the children of God. And we need to be holy as we walk through the world. 1 Peter 1:15, everyone knows this verse, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, I'm going to use these three verses as sort of to show a progression of idolatry, that God talks to the children of Israel and uses a section about don't do this, don't do this, and then don't do this. In 26, "You shall not eat anything with blood, neither shall you use enchantments nor observe times." The children of God would journey to a land where they would see all these things around them. That false gods were like Tex-Mex restaurants here in Texas. It was around. You would see it all the time. When it says eat anything with blood, the pagans would strangle animals before they sacrificed them to God, retaining the blood within the sacrifices. There's never any spilt blood. The enchantment or the observations of times with that they would use mysticism and objects. You know, you would grab this as love potions or this to help guide you in life. In the evil times, you would not move on evil days, watch the clouds, do these things that false gods did. And God told the Jews not to do those things, not to consume that, not to observe these times, not to use the enchantments. Don't use the things that you see around them. Because when we get around the world, we want to consume the things that we see around us. We don't have to worry about blood sacrifices anymore. Paul's addressed that. We don't really have to worry about that. The enchantments and the observation of times. There's some of the stuff like that with horoscopes and that. But really, the things we got to be careful with is the influence of false gods on our lives. The amount of Eastern mysticism that I see sweep in, especially around medicine, is amazing. You'll see stuff that goes in and just sweeps into everything. Here's one. Yoga is from the Vedas. At its broadest, yoga, from the root word yug, is Sanskrit, meaning to unite. Most Hindu texts discuss yoga as a practice to control the senses and ultimately the mind. The most famous is the Bhagavad Gita, dating back to the 6th to the 3rd century BCE, in which Krishna speaks of your four types of yoga. Bhakti, which is devotional, jnana, which is or knowledge, karma, or actions, and dhyana, or concentration, often referred as Raja Yoga. Although not all sources agree on the term, as the path to achieve moksha, the ultimate goal to Hindu understanding. Well, that's yoga. Now, a lot of people saying that's just stretching. Well, stretch then. Don't do the yoga. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you go to the Lord about what you got to do. It's not my place to say you need to do this or you need to do that, but we need to avoid glancing around and playing around with things that we don't need to play around with. They are false gods. I mean, you know, it's a serious, honest-to-goodness thing out there. We have a mindset that this is the 21st century. We got iPhones. We don't have to worry about false gods, but they're there. And they're there strong. And things happen, and there's still spiritual forces out there. And God's called us to be a part. 2 Corinthians 6, it says, "And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things. And I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." We're to be separate. We're to be apart from them, apart from those things. We're not to consume those things that are produced in the world that are false gods. It's a difficult thing in the world you see today. I know Thor is in the Avengers, speaking of comic books, and Brother Jerry, since I know he's so interested in that. But you see a lot of Thor. Now, what does Thor mean to you? Is he the comic book character of the TV, or is he the worship of the Vikings that when they pillaged the land of Ireland? I mean, of course, the law is fulfilled through Christ. Go to Christ, ask the Lord what you should do. The Holy Spirit will let you know. God will talk to you. If you're doing something, God will absolutely let you know. If you feel guilty and say, man, I probably shouldn't do that, you know, that's probably the Holy Spirit saying, man, you shouldn't do that. And so when you see that, when we see these things, we shouldn't consume. We shouldn't go out there simply because it's good for us to do, simply because it's okay. Man, Mormons were everywhere in Boise. I mean, they were everywhere. And there were so many people said, man, you know, I don't know about that, but we can learn some things from them. Man, I don't need to learn anything from the Mormons. I just don't. They're worshiping false gods. I don't need to pick up something that they're hard workers. They're damned and going to hell unless they receive Christ. We need to stay away from those things. In addition to the things that we consume, there are also thoughts or actions. I will read you here's a quote from one of the demigods from Alabama, of my hometown, by the way. So I love chitlins. If you believe in yourself and have dedication and pride, never quit. You'll be a winner. The price of victory is high, but so are the rewards. Paul Bear Bryant. Now, that second word he used, pride, it sounds like a good quote, doesn't it? I mean, it's just, you know, believe in yourself, have dedication and pride, never quit, you'll be a winner. I mean, that sounds like a good thing, but when you look at that pride, Brother Jesse was talking about it the other day, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look. Is it right or is it wrong? Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? See, we like grays. I like grays. I like, well, we really don't know if it's good or bad because, you know, well, because I'm doing it. And so I'm going to sort of justify what I'm doing with my life. And just a little bit's not going to hurt. But it's black and white to the eyes of God. Now, there are easy things. There are hard things. But there is only black and white. And we should never do that. We should never grab the things of the world. Don't let the world change your mind and what Christian attitude is. Here's a very, very difficult thing for me. The government. Everybody loves the government, right? Everybody's rule behind the government. Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordination of God, and they that resisteth shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, I'm not a very smart man, but I kind of get the gist of that. When the government tells you to do something, you do it. Of course, if it violates the word of God, you don't do that because God's is a higher authority. Never, ever, ever. And that's not what I'm saying. But with those other things, those minor things, God's pretty obvious about what he says. And we should never absorb the thought or the worldview, the philosophy of mankind out there and let it change us. We should never do that. We need to be Christians. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We don't need to listen to the world. We need to listen to the word of God. And in some situations, that's very, 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 very hard. There are things that are ingrained in the way we do everything. Ms. Donya knows what it's like to raise young men in the South. There is a mindset about how you raise men. Absolutely. You will not vary from that. You will not deviate from that. And a lot of that stuff that you learn growing up like that is contrary to what you learn in the Word of God. So what's right, that or the Word of God? Well, always the Word of God. And we should never consume those things. We should never take those things and think that they're good from the world, because we are the children of God. Secondly, we should never copy the things of the world. Leviticus 19:27, you shall not round the corners of your head, neither shalt thou mar the corners of thy beard. This is a favorite of atheists that I've heard on arguments saying the things, you can't trim your beard. Well, what they're saying is the local priests and the adherents of false religions would shape their hair and their beards in a certain manner to be identified like that. You've seen the pictures of the Egyptians where they shaved the heads, or you see the priests of the time. They would shape their beard in such a way to look such a way, and they're saying, don't look like that. Don't cut your beard to match their appearance. You know, and I know there was some teenager that went up to their mom or dad saying, but you know, it's really cool the way they look. You know, it's really nifty how they're doing that. Don't do that. I was at a church one time, not this church, but another church, and a very fashionable lady. I remember overhearing saying, she was looking and she said, well, I guess you can tell who the missionaries are, in a very condescending way. Well, I mean that you could. I mean, so what that they didn't have the world's best fashion and they all were doing the blue jean skirts and that? At least you knew who they were. They were the children of God, as opposed to being part of the world. We have Christian celebrities, Christian movies, Christian rap, Christian rock music, Christian everything. If you want anything in this world, you can search a Christian in front of it and you can find it. They have pressed into that market because we want part of the world. We want to grab a little bit of that world and take it with us. It's all going to go away. I mean, it's all going to go away. Can you imagine what heaven will be like? I don't think it's going to be a lot like we see outside of what we live in today. And we should never look at the world and be envious of it. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Be thou not envious against evil men, and never desire to be with them. We're not to look at the world and say that we want that, and say that that's something that I would like to be like. I'll be cautious here. You see this greatly in the way young girls dress in the world today. Many fathers have turned a blind eye to the god of vanity. Well, I don't do that. I'll let my wife take care of that. But men really need to stand up and say that this is my daughter. This is my daughter. That is the world. And I know exactly what men think like. And I guarantee you that I will know what she wears. Matter of fact, you'll actually see the next verse in 19:29. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. Now you flip on TV today and those little girls are dictating what the little girl should wear. And that should have never, ever, ever, ever happened. And as Christians, we certainly should be immune to that. We should certainly be stand athwart to that. In our houses, in when we go home, who are our heroes in the house? I mean, is David a hero or just a Bible story? You know, is Taylor Swift promoted more than Sarah? I know that's hard, because we're inundated with everything. We've got every form of electronic you could possibly imagine pumping 100 miles an hour at us about the world. But we need to keep the Word of God and the things of the Lord in front of our children and in front of us. We don't want to get in the world that we can copy the world and somehow that Bill Gates is our grand desire to be like. He's a rich guy. That's it. I guarantee you that we've got a lot more rich people in this church right now because he doesn't know the Lord. You shouldn't copy the world. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Next, we shouldn't conform to the world. Leviticus 19:28, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. The pagan nations of the promised land, this is from Gil, either with their nails tearing their cheeks or other parts, or with any instrument, knife, razor. Jerichai says it was a custom of the Amorites when anyone died to cut their flesh, as with the Scythians, as Herodias relates, even to those of the royal family. For a king, they'd cut off part of the ear, shave their head around, cut the arms about, wound their forehead and nose, transfix the left hand with arrows, and so Carthaginians, and on it goes about things that people would do for the dead, that they would see what the dead did, and they would mark their flesh for that. As for the marks upon the body, they would identify themselves with the God that they worship. They would put inks or lead below their skin so that you would know forever who they were identified. And God's telling these people, don't do that. Don't be identified with those people. Now, there was no tattoo removal back in those days. When a young man, a young Jewish man, saw something and thought that was cool and marked their flesh, they're forever marked. They are forever blemished. They were forever identified with them, not with the children of God. They had conformed themselves to look like the world out there. And why would we want to conform ourselves to the world? It amazes me that our pursuits that are so focused in this world, and I'm not talking about you guys, I'm talking about the culture we see, is pursuit of those things that we know fail. A movie comes to Hazlitt. How many people run and rush because they want to be the next movie star? And then you read what happens, everybody's reading now, what happens in Hollywood. Why do we want to do that? I mean, you see, being a professional athlete would be cool. Well, I've seen professional athletes not do that great stuff. But if you have the Word of God, if you have a hold of that, then you have a good life. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't reach out there. It was amazing, I was reading about Oxford. I mean, if there's a good college out there, it's got to be Oxford. I mean, I don't know anything. I'm not smart enough to get in there. But I was reading about it, and what they're doing now is they're afraid about the new freshmen, that they don't want to be scared, so they're no longer allowed the students of faith to be at the orientation because they're afraid they're going to unduly stress upon those kids. But what happens when your kid gets a full ride to Oxford? I mean, that's a school right there. I mean, you're getting a job anywhere. And the world will sell that to you. This world will get a hold of you. Well, if you go to a good college and you get a good job and then you make a lot of money and you get a good house and you meet a good wife and you have good kids, man, it's just a great life. That one thing feeds into the other. And every now and then, now I'm sure you guys don't, but every now and then I lose track of what I am. I lose track of that Jesus Christ stepped on the earth and died for me. And that was it. So when he made Adam out of the ground and my biological material was there, he knew that I was going to come around. He knew that I was going to walk on this earth one day. And the only point that God wanted me was for me to be in fellowship with him. That's it. That was the end game. I don't know what heaven's going to be like. I don't know what the new earth is going to be like. But that's where, that's the end game. That's where we're heading to. But I'll get lost. Because, you know, man, I need breaks. Man, have you seen the new vets? Man, those are cool looking. And if I had a vet, man, then that'd be sweet. And I get some new boots. Well, if I got that new raise, and you get lost in the world. And just 6 months down the road, you're looking at that, and all of a sudden, what have you done? Well, I've got a raise, I got a lot of money, and you haven't done anything. Why is it so much easier to watch TV than read the Bible? You ever wonder that? You think that we would just be... I mean, we're all, you know, if you're saved, this word of God was written to you individually. That the God of the heaven penned this so Brother Lassiter could pick up a Bible and read it. A personal letter. Now, I can't write to a personal letter to more than two people. That's about as good as my brain can go. I'm a finite guy. I could probably write to Mr. and Mrs. Fiesler. Here you go. And it's a letter to both of them. God is infinite, so he can write to everybody within the Word of God. And that is for us. So why aren't we just mesmerized by it? But I'm sitting there trying to read the Word of God, and then all of a sudden something comes on TV, and I'm mesmerized by lawnmower racing for 15 minutes. Because this world really wants to put us in. And man, the devil will do anything he can to pull you away from God. The devil cannot hurt God. He can't do anything to God. There's no fight between God and the devil. There isn't. God wins. But God can get to us, now can he? And who loves us? God. And man, if you really want to hurt me, mess with my kid. I mean, I can take a punch in the face, I don't care, but man, you'll break my heart if you hurt my kid. And so the devil goes after us in every way he possibly can to try to sell this world to us that somehow, that if we just grab a hold of that world, man, it'll be all great. In Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is an easy verse to memorize, and that is a very difficult verse to live. To give yourself up. Totally. Man, that is just a hard thing to do. I can't imagine John the Baptist. My mind always goes to John the Baptist and Paul, and just how everything in their life was the Lord. And they weren't weird. They were proper. I'm the weird one. I'm the one spending my time doing this and doing that. And they were devoted to the Lord. They had not conformed themselves to the world. Now, I'm not saying be odd on purpose. I'm not saying any of that or anything like that. But if we just walk around with the love of the Lord in us, that it'll get a hold of us. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. To be not conformed into the world, but to be renewed, have your mind renewed, to read the Word of God, to delve into the Word of God, to give yourselves over to the Lord. And it's all in my experience, it's kind of easy when you're on the high parts of the, oh, Lord's blessing me. It's just going a great day. It's a wonderful thing, you know, and everything's going good. But on the flip side of that, it can be really hard sometimes, too, when you don't see where the Lord is. He's there the whole time, every time, all the time. He is never not there. But when you don't think that he's there, that's when it starts getting difficult. That's when the devil will come at you. And let me tell you, the devil will be your best friend. He'll hang out with you all day long. He'll tell you what you want to know. He'll let you know the bad things of everybody. He'll know how you can get ahead in life, and he'll give you the advice to do it. You know what you need to do? You need to start giving all this time to the church. That'd really help a lot. If you just focus a little bit more over here and less over there, that'd work out good for you. You know, it's about you. Don't think it's about them. Don't worry about them. Let's talk about you. You need you time. The devil sell it good. Man, you might, again, you might not fall into it, but I'll do it all the time. You're right. I do got to take care of me, don't I? I need this. I need that. I want to do these things. But we're not to do that. We're not to be conformed to this world. God leaves us on this world to bring glory to him. That is it. If we didn't do that, we would get saved and that's it. That's a theological noise. But it's a true thing. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world, a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And those good works are defined in the Word of God. That's what we are called to do. That's what we're meant to do. God's called us to be separate and to sanctified for his use. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, desirous of good work. Oh my goodness, does my flesh desire the other side of it? You know what I should have said? I'll tell you what I should have said. This is what I should have said. Man, that would have got him. That's what my flesh does. Now, I know you guys don't do stuff like that. You guys are very holy and say, amen, bless you, and move on. But, you know, my flesh will get a hold of me, and it'll get a hold of me. God wants us conformed to his image of the Son. I can't imagine, barring the crucifixion, Christ walking amongst us. God putting his foot down on this earth and just walking through mankind. Everybody looks angry when I go shopping. They always do. I mean, no one's happy at shopping. Just, you walk through Kroger. No one seems happy. But could you imagine God going through there and hearing and feeling the thoughts of everybody? To see in them and know what they're saying all the time? And yet he came to this world so we could die. We're not to be conformed to this world. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknowledge, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Our God's goal is for us to be shaped like Christ, to be like Christ. They punched him in the face. They slapped God in the face, and they didn't wink out of existence. I mean, he was ridiculed. He was mocked. And he just did. And we're to take that image of the Lord and to show that there's the love of God. Now, judgment's coming. I'm not saying that. But we're to know that we carry the love of God and show it through the world out there and say that there is a God out there who loves you. And you can avoid damnation. That's what we need to do. In conclusion, you'll see that I am the Lord. He is our God. He died for us. We are His creation. We don't live in a world with a God who wants to save us. We are created by Him so He could save us. We're not an afterthought and we're not an add-on. God created us so we would be saved, so that Jesus Christ come and die for it. And He's doing everything He possibly can to see us saved, but it's still our choice. We still get to choose. If we don't want to be with God, then we won't be with God. And He did so much that His very Son came down on this earth and died for us so that we could have, He says it much better, He that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself. He that believeth not hath made God him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God hath gave His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things I have written to you that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God has given us this opportunity of eternal life. It's not so that we can be conformed to this world. That in a lot of ways, the world reminds me of kindergarten. You see kids in kindergarten all the time. And man, you get a bunch of little kids together and they get blocks. Man, I want those blocks. No, I want those blocks. Man, they'll go at it. If you keep a block from a kid, they're going to want that block. And when they have all the blocks, they'll look at the other kids. I got all the blocks. And then kindergarten's over. And all the blocks put up. And that's what this world is a lot like. I'm trying to get as many crayons as I can just to let everybody know that I'm better. And that's not what the world's about. The world is about grabbing a hold of the Lord, our God, our Savior, and changing our lives and pressing it apart from the world so that when they look at you, they know you're different. So that when they're around, that the crude jokes may stop or they may intensify. Depends on who you're talking to. But they know that when something goes on, or if they want a question about the Lord, they know that you're that crazy Christian. You know, the weird guy that works with everybody. You know, they know, well, you go to church, don't you, Mr. Cox? And you know a lot about that Bible thing, right? And they'll come to you. Now, they may ridicule him at the same time, but on the flip side of that, they'll come to us. And we need to be those people. We need to take the love of God to be transformed by his word. He told his people to be separate. Don't do these things. And while we're in the world, we don't need to be the same as the world. We're in the world, but don't be a part of the world. Jesus Christ so loves us. If we just open our ears and listen to the Holy Spirit, He can lead us in the direction that we need to go. There's never, that, you know, God's never going to leave you alone when it comes to sin. You're never going to get to, well, I don't know what to do. God's not here, so I'm going to do it. God's never going to do that. He will always let you know what you have to do and when you do it. Now, He will give you a way out. Now, you may press forward and press forward and press forward, but God will always let you go. The hard part is to realize that He is God and we are not. And this is His creation, not mine. He owns this. I don't. And to give that to God and let Him be in control rather than the things we do in this world. So don't be conformed to this world. Don't seek out. Don't copy the world. Don't emulate. Don't try to be the world. Be that thing that the Lord wants us to be. Let us all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this time, Lord, and we thank you for the word. We thank you for the truth that you've given us, Lord. We ask you to be with us during this time, Lord. We give ourselves to you, Lord. If there's anyone in the sound of my voice that doesn't know that they know that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, they can come to the altar, Lord, and present themselves, Lord. We can show them from the Bible how to be saved, Lord. We ask you to give this time to you, Lord, to anything that's turned our heart, Lord, to bring it to you, to anything that we need to confess to you, Lord, to anything that we need to separate from our lives, Lord, we know we can bring it to you, and you know you're faithful and just to forgive us, Lord. We ask you to bless this time, bless this invitation. In your Son's holy and precious name, Christ, we pray. Amen.